whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sean, what will stand out about this ring ceremony and banner raising that they waited so long for?
For me, it's like the parade when people are asking about 08, the fact that my son is 13 now and wasn't alive the last time they won. So seeing everything through his eyes not only means something to me on a night we saw LeBron and, you know, Whisper in Bronny's ear before he checked in for the first time, and every parent can understand that, but it also makes you realize, seeing it through my son's eyes, the passage of time and how many Celtic fans didn't get to see it. And I remember, you know, calling the end of the championship, I'd sort of come up with this idea that, you know, I said something about the Celtic fans of the, you know, Celtics Nation. There were kids in the 60s get one more, and the ones in the 80s get one now for their kids. And the ones who are kids in the new Big Three era with Garnett and Pierce or whatever, they now have one as adults. And the kids of Celtics Nation now finally get their own. And it makes you realize when you're with a team that everyone looks at the 18 championships and go, wow, it's a, you know, you wish you had 2, 3, 4, let alone 18. But everyone has their own perspective. And it actually been, this is one of the reasons people hate Boston. It had been 5.5 years since the team here won a championship. And that sounds like nothing. And it sounds like you're joking until you realize to a 13-year-old, 5.5 years is, he doesn't really remember the Patriots. And he barely remembers the Red Sox winning in 2018. So when you're the voice of a team, bringing it back to the question, you're trying to stamp it for the fans now, knowing that when Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown walk into wherever the Celtics are playing in 30 or 40 years, they're going to get these huge ovations and they're going to be the legends. And as I said to Al Horford tonight, when we had him on after the game, he was talking about how seeing Bob Cousy and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Cedric Maxwell really got him going during the ceremony. I don't do this a lot, but I kind of jumped Max. I said, Al, you know you're one of those guys now. You're one of those guys. Who knows? A lot of people think the Celtics are going to win again this year. Maybe they will. But could be another 16 years, another 20 years, another who knows how long before you win. So you got to stamp these moments for the fans to enjoy them, because every generation is different.
And to that end, the generations that were present for the banner raising included Bob Cousy. And as Adam Silver pointed out, he's got the 6 rings and got a massive standing ovation. Paul Pierce is the one that comes out with the trophy, right? On the other end of that, you've got Jason Tatum and his son Deuce, who puts on the ring for the first time and his face. And so, yeah, it really spanned a bunch of generations with this ceremony. It's cool.
My son has stared at the 08 ring in my house for a long time, and now he gets his own. And that's kind of the point.
The Celtics then go out and torch the Nets and torch the Knicks while they're at it. Weird, though, because they had an opportunity to set a new NBA record and didn't quite get it there at the end. What about a wild swing in this game? Goodness.
If the basketball gods are trying to tell you something, eventually you should start to listen. And stop launching the ridiculous shots at the end. And, it was... enough was enough, and it was fine. I think it was stunning to see the Celtics at some level react. But for Knicks fans, who I'm sure are going to largely overreact over the next few days, and I get it. Mikal Bridges didn't look good in the preseason. He had a bad start. All these things. You live long enough, you see everything. You really live long enough, you see everything twice. I would say to Knicks fans tonight, 14 years ago, the Celtics played the exact same game on the opening night TNT game, and it was the first ever game for LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade for the Heatles together in Miami. Huge hype game, and the Celtics pretty much blasted them off the court. And I'd remind you that that season ended with Miami beating the Celtics in the playoffs. That what you saw tonight was the best team in the NBA and the defending champions picking up where they left off as a group with continuity that has played together and were able to just start on a gallop. Whereas the Knicks, not only do they have injuries now, they've got major new pieces. And they're going to figure this out. And the Knicks, I know this is not going to be a popular thing to say tonight, the Knicks are going to be just fine. It's going to be a really, really good team. They're a championship caliber team. And I think it's going to be a great footnote if the dream conference finals for many of us does happen next May. I think this is a great footnote to the story. And you watch as the Celtics and Knicks play throughout the course of the year. These games will get closer and closer and closer.
Well, Well, we know the Knicks have certainly made a ton of improvements. It's been a slow burn as a rebuild, but they look like they've got their group together. And then they add Karl-Anthony Towns in exchange for Julius Randle. How do you like him as an addition to that Knicks team?
High risk, high reward. You know, because the thing about Karl-Anthony Towns, just because you're from New York doesn't mean you can play in New York. And I think those questions are fair until he goes through the season. But he is a very unique player. The Knicks had the worst offensive spacing in the NBA last year, and everyone knew it, and they defended them that way. Now they will have among the best spacing in the NBA because of the way Towns shoot threes. What Leon Rose did is pure genius. Leon Rose and his staff putting that team together and not only building a championship caliber team, but building one, Amy, in the mold of the city. He built a team for New York. And the only thing that gives me some pause is that Isaiah Hartenstein and Dante DiVincenzo fit perfectly on that stage. And we don't yet, as outrageously gifted as Karl-Anthony Towns is, we don't yet know. We don't know one way or the other. And I'm not saying he won't be this guy, but we don't know if he can be that guy on that very specific stage. You know, and breaking up the Villanova thing also, who knows if there's bad juju in that. But you give me that group, Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart or whatever, they're going to be fine. And Tom Thibodeau coaching, you can remind me of what I'm saying now. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong in March and April, but I won't be. The Knicks are going to be in this thing if they stay relatively healthy.
Sean Grandy is the longtime voice of the Boston Celtics with us as the NBA tips off a new season and all eyes on the banner raising for 2024 in the Garden. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. True or false, Sean? Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are extra motivated this season because of what we'll call Olympic snubs.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons. And of course, the short answer is true to that. And it just creates this, I hate the expression perfect storm, but you know exactly that it is, which is when you get a defending champion back, the question is, are they going to have that motivation to go through the whole thing again? You never get a championship team come back with its two best players coming out of the gate with something to prove. And that's what you have here. And it's amazing. How can you have Jason Tatum have the year he just had, win the championship, at age 26, something that Shaq didn't do, something that LeBron didn't do, something that Michael Jordan didn't do, and then have Jaylen Brown be the MVP of the conference finals and the finals, and they still come back feeling like they didn't get the respect they deserve because maybe they didn't. And again, you get that sort of dream scenario and the crazy motivation of Joe Mazzulla, and it looks perfect. But it's going to look perfect on a night they got 1.5 points per possession, and they just bludgeoned the Knicks who couldn't guard them at the three-point line. You just could not have written a better script for the Celtics all of last year. And if you wanted to have a dream scenario for Boston fans for one night, this was it.
What's the biggest change for the Celtics in this season?
I wouldn't call it a change, but obviously knowing you don't, they played a ton of games without Porzingis last year. In fact, they played 101 games last year in winning a championship. They played 37 of those without Porzingis, and they went 31-6 in those 37 games. So they're used to it, but the concern for the Celtics isn't now. It isn't the system. It isn't the having these best players and their outrageous defensive IQ and Al Horford, who is, again, you want your soundbite and want to say the internet go crazy? If I had ended up doing that game on TNT tonight, I would have sent the internet crazy by saying the following. Al Horford is essentially Tom Brady. And what I mean by that is this. He isn't the GOAT. He's not the greatest to ever play. But he is defying age the way Brady did. And that Al is the same player now that he was 7, 8, 9 years ago in his late 30s. Just as Brady was the same player at 37, 38, 39. We don't see this. And yet, it's happening with Al Horford. So all those things are in place. The question is, when people have asked me over and over again, can they repeat? I say, answer this question. Is Porzingis healthy in the playoffs? That could be the difference. Are the Celtics okay without him for the regular season? Of course they are. And they got through playoff series last year without him, certainly. But you're going to need that option because teams, the Knicks being a perfect example, are going to start closing the gap and figuring out the Celtics at least a little bit as the season goes on. How many open threes that the Celtics have tonight? Yeah, they knocked down a bunch, and yeah, they set an NBA record, but they were not challenged at the three-point line for much of this night. And that's because you had a new team in New York that didn't have their defensive system in place yet. And you know what the Celtics are going to do, but it takes a team that's played together for a while to stop it.
Elsewhere around the Eastern Conference, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Joel Embiid is out, I guess, for the first week. Paul George not playing either. What do you make of the 76ers and their, I guess, new look roster?
I would say almost the same thing I just said about Porzingis. Is Joel Embiid healthy? Is Paul George healthy in the playoffs? I love Maxey. I love Nick Nurse. It's so easy. On opening night, everyone's just saying Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Milwaukee. And I've been around long enough to guarantee you on your show right now, you can play this back in the spring, because of the way the league works, there's no way those teams finish 1-4 in the East, and there's no way that they're going to be the final four teams in the Eastern Conference. It never works out that way. And I think teams that are getting snubbed here, you've got some good teams in that 5-8 range that are getting no love whatsoever. Orlando's going to be better. Indiana went to the conference finals, and the biggest team that nobody's talking about here is Cleveland, which you got the Donovan Mitchell. They will, you know, go to the second round of the playoffs last year. They win 50-plus games. Kenny Atkinson has been a very good coach everywhere he's been. You got the Donovan Mitchell thing put to rest. Giannis gets hurt like he did last year. Embiid, obviously, how many games is he going to play in the regular season? And I think it's going to be tough to keep Cleveland out of that top four in the East. So every year, something happens. You and I, Amy, do not know what it is. Nobody knows what it is. But something always happens, usually early in the season, that changes the trajectory of it. Unfortunately, it's usually a major injury. I gave this exact interview 7 years ago to somebody on opening night in this whole speech about how something's going to happen that we can't possibly imagine. And 5 minutes into the first game, Gordon Hayward broke his leg.
Right.
And that changed the dynamic. That changed the trajectory of the Celtics franchise that one moment. So something will happen. It always does. But this is the day for overreaction, right? Tomorrow morning, the Knicks will be horrible and overrated, and it was the worst trade in the history of trades, and the Lakers are back, and LeBron and Bronny are going to win a champion, because that's the beauty of tomorrow. And then the next day happens, and the next day, and the next day.
Sean Grady's with us from Boston after opening night and some gaudy rings, but man, they are sparkly. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Well, you mentioned this earlier, you're a dad, your son just turned 13. Can you even imagine what it's like to be LeBron and welcome Bronny James, as actually on his uniform it says James Jr., to the court to play with you in a game that matters?
I would imagine there are a lot of people tonight, people that don't like LeBron James, that hated it basketball-wise, but loved it as dads to see it. Because you can't, how can you not be affected by it? One of the coolest things, and, you know, the beauty of everybody having a camera now is you're going to see all these different views of things. One of the coolest pieces of video I saw tonight, and I was sitting right in the middle of the Boston Celtics banner going up and winning a championship, but the coolest thing I saw in video tonight was somebody recording LeBron and Bronny walking on the court and then pulling back to reveal two other guys, both filming it with their camera, and the two guys were Ken Griffey and Ken Griffey Jr.
Right.
Which was unbelievable to see. I'm a LeBron guy. I kind of always have been. It does not endear me to a lot of the locals here in Boston, but regardless of how you feel about LeBron James and his legacy and where he is, and if you don't want to say he's the greatest player of all time, you certainly don't have to, but if you're not including him in the conversation, you're just not saying things, clearly. And this moment didn't have anything to do with LeBron, this was just about a dad. And the accomplishment here is LeBron playing at a high level long enough to see this day. That's the amazing thing, is that we don't even think about, is LeBron one of the top five players in the league anymore? I don't know, but I know it's his 22nd year. Well, he's doing things nobody has ever done. A pretty good NBA night. I'm not sure you could script it any better after you had, you know, the baseball playoffs you've had. And as I said, what was the WNBA TV rating number? They had, I tweeted this earlier today, 3.3 million people were watching the end of that Lynx-Liberty game the other night. Unfortunately, none of them were the officials, but it was pretty cool.
What's a story that I didn't ask you about in the NBA that you're anxious to see unfold?
I'm always interested to see the teams that people aren't talking about. There are usually stories within those teams, but, you know, when I mention Cleveland, it's because everyone makes up their mind. This is the narrative. These are the four teams in the East that are going to be the four dominant teams, and nobody else is going to jump into it. Not sure. I think that the playoff races are going to be so competitive, Amy, because I think you're going to have five, six, seven teams in the league that are going to be really struggle to win 20 games. And there's the Cooper Flag thing, you know, trying to get the pick in the draft, and just teams that are going to be, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is huge. And I mentioned Cleveland in the East. In the Western Conference, everyone's going to talk about L.A. and Golden State because they always do. Everyone's going to talk about Dallas because they went to the finals and Luka is there. Anthony Edwards is a superstar among superstars, and Minnesota will be in this conversation. OKC may be the best regular season team in the league. And yet, a team that has Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, nobody's talking about at all. And Mike Budenholzer with a pretty good. So I'm always fascinated. You can't talk about everybody. Cleveland, to me, in the East, and particularly Phoenix in the West, are teams that it's really interesting that nobody is, you know, nobody's saying a word.
Sean Grandy is not just the radio voice of the Boston Celtics for, well, forever, but now he's a YouTube sensation, wow, which really impresses his son.
Yeah, that's huge.
Now he thinks you're cool.
Yeah, my son, as we've discussed extensively now for 15 minutes, 13 years old, has lived behind the curtain with the Celtics, knows all the players, traveled on the plane, the whole thing. And when I did a project with Kai Cenat a couple of weeks ago, he was never more excited about anything in his life than he was about that, because YouTubers are where it is. So you know this, Amy, when play-by-play, and there are some of my colleagues are into it, and some of them are just can't stand it, but there's going to be a camera on you now. That's the way it goes.
Everything
and
you
Max
do.
Max and I, after all these years, are going to have a camera on us every minute of every game, and that's the way of it, and welcome to our world.
At Sean Grandy, PBP, longtime voice of the Celtics, off and running a near record for three-pointers in their opening game after raising that banner. All right, well, we're going to keep track, keeping receipts, as the kids say, of all these different things that we've talked about. And, of course, we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, Sean.
You got it.